On this fifth day of November, the year 2020, from Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio, dedicated to her love and life for me and the memories of it all, I'm right here in the same place welcoming you to another webcast. Calm down, for goodness sake. Calm down. In the background playing the Modern Jazz Quartet. You know I love jazz, and that's John Lewis on the piano and the harpsichord, Milt Jackson on the vibraharp, Percy Heath on the bass, Connie Kay on the drums. Nice little tune called Blues in B flat. Blues in B flat. Listen to a little bit of it. Like a little good jazz in the early afternoon here in Los Angeles. It's overcast today and kind of cool all morning, but it's cool because I've been enjoying the day. I want to talk about calming down, and let me fade this music up. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Really want to talk about some very important stuff. Very important. Very important. How do you calm down? You know, because a lot of people, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. A lot of you, your guy didn't win the election, right? And I'm not quite sure about who was the person that won or the category that you want to win, but we're going to talk about how to calm down in the midst of all this, and I'm going to use as my guide the Book of Books. You know, I've got to do it. I'm going to talk about a little bit about anger, frustration, hot-tempered people, what happens when people lose, and I'm going to give you an illustration on a personal note, because the illustration comes to you today, and you know, I don't have anything to hide about what goes on in my personal life from the people that I know. And I'm going to share a little bit of that with you when I come back. All right, I'm back. See, that didn't take that much time. Listen, what I'd like to do, why do we get angry and just blow our tops? It's like I said on the website, there's so many people dead today in the coffin, in the grave, or in jail, or, you know, tied up, bound up, because they got mad. And they said and did something, and they're going to suffer for years behind it because they became angry at something that they had total, full control over. And aren't we living in those times right now? You know, it's a terrible thing when you have to call the police, and especially when you have to call the police on people that you love because you get angry and don't know how to deal with that. Now, first of all, let me tell you that being angry with anyone is not something bad. No, it is not. We have myriads, tons of scripture that it tells us that getting angry is natural and very normal. But what I'm talking about is when this anger leads you into a particular disposition that it's going to frustrate you being alive. It's going to frustrate basically practically anything that you do if you let that anger take you to that place. When you go to the Bible, Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, I got my book open here. Let me go there. If you got a Bible there in your house, why don't you go there with me? You see? And I'm going to the Bible because I believe that it is still relevant in times of spiritual need. And we need some spiritual, you know, we need to come to ourselves. And I'll give you an illustration of how serious this anger can be. And then at the same time, show you how wisdom can get you out of that state of defunct. Only wisdom can. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11 says, God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation, that's anger, every day. Now, I like verse 11 because it says God is a righteous judge. God doesn't judge like people do. People judge on whether you have money, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you have yellow privilege, brown privilege, whatever it is. No, God's not like that. He's a righteous judge. And the second part of that verse says, and a God who has indignation every day. In other words, he's ticked every day. Calm down. Your house has got washed away last week in the flood that hit the Gulf Coast again, Louisiana. Calm down. God is angry. Don't you get angry back at him. There's other places in the Bible, too. You like using that Bible? I haven't turned to this in a long time. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. That's in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 11. I ain't got nothing else to do. I might as well bring you a study like this. Because, you see, there is so much going on out there, we need to chill out. Okay, here we are. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. You ever read it? It says, now the Lord was angry with Solomon. So that means that he can be angry with John. He can be angry, that's me. He can be angry with you. And see, because his heart was turned away from the Lord. In other words, that God was mad at Solomon because Solomon had turned his heart away from God. Look, turned it from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You know, God would be very angry at me and strike me with a massive heart attack, and he'd be justified. If I did something that God did not want me to do, if I said something that God did not want me to say, if I stopped doing the things that God had called me to do, he's justified to be angry with me and to kill me flat out. Can you say the same thing where you are? So we see God gets angry. Go to 2 Kings, the next book over from 1 Kings. Oh, yeah, you're going to Work with me. Go to 2 Kings. Go to chapter 17. 2 Kings, chapter 17. And I want you to look at verse 18. 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 18. I'll wait for you to get there, because I want you to understand something about the God that I love. God can become angry at an entire nation. Look at this. Verse 18 says, so the Lord was very angry with Israel. That wasn't a man. That was a whole nation. Calm down. Calm down. Wait a minute. And removed them from his sight. Now, you know what the implication of that is, that he will remove your asses, my ass, from his sight. I'm just keeping it plain. I want to talk to you in real language where you live. I'm not trying to be some pastor in the halls of ecclesia, and I'll never use a swear word. Oh, I'll use it now because you're not listening to God. So listen to this. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. None was left except the tribe of Judah. Do the history there. And for those of you that are atheists and agnostic and do not believe that God is real, just look at human history. Because when you look at human history, you will know that when God becomes angry with you, he will do the exact same thing to you that he did to them. But we're going to talk about this a little bit. Wait a minute. John, God wouldn't do that to me. I'm the apple of his eye. Are you? Go to the book of Mark in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. It's the second book in the New Testament. For those of you that don't know how to use this book, go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus was angry with a group of people. See, we black, we suffer, we're privileged. I was looking at CNN the other night, and Van, I forget his last name, one of the black commentators was saying that black people were not satisfied with the vote because of this and that. And he was almost crying on the TV, talking about what black. Listen to this. Verse 5 says, and after looking around at them, this is Jesus, looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and the man's hand was restored. This is when the crippled man was there on the gates of the temple, and the Jews are always looking for him to do something. Let's get him. Let's get him. When I was pastor in the church, that's the way a lot of them Negroes was in the church. How can we get John? Well, you ain't going to get me with no money and no honey and no funny. You're not getting me with that. Once you are God's agent of righteousness, you will always be his agent. You know, wouldn't that be facetious if God called a man to be his agent? And as you know, there's a scripture, I can't think of it right now, but it says where God says that no man is able to pull any man out of my hand if I got my hand on him. I know this ain't nothing but foolishness here. Maybe it'll go along. Let me see. Hello.
Hi, yeah, this is Amanda, and I'm calling today to discuss with you your options for Medicare supplemental plans. How's it going today?
I don't need this discussion, but I appreciate your call.
And I have a specialist here who would love to chat with you about these.
So you're a tape recorded. Now, ladies and gentlemen, see, she doesn't know that a webcast has gone on now. And this man has tricked me to listen to me. And you see what they're doing?
doing.
This is how they get you. But it didn't make me angry. I was just trying to prove a point. America and all of them. I don't want to change this plan, that plan, because I'm going to die in one of them, and it does not matter. But one thing that it does for me as a 76-year-old man, it enlivens my heart that people are thinking about talking to me, even though it is AI. Oh, I'm sorry, artificial intelligence. Let's get back to what I was saying in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. See, looking around at him with anger. So it's all right to be angry. God has shown us that it's all right to be angry, but you got to watch where your anger will lead you to. That's all I'm saying. Be careful where this anger will carry you. Now, since we've identified that he's angry at the wicked, people that just do wicked things and continue to do wicked things, and then he was angry with an individual. He was angry with Solomon. He was the head of Israel, right? Well, he was angry with Solomon. So what makes you think he won't be angry with any president of this stupid behind country that won't do what he tell him to do? Oh, I'm not going to play the games with you. You come here because I'm an independent thinker with good reasons. I don't even want to talk about the church pastors that try to twist your arm to tell you who to vote for. Calm down. Calm down. God is the only one that you need to be concerned whether you made him angry. Oh, my friends. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things, but a crafty man is hated, and a crafty man is hated. See, when you're quick-tempered, when you go off, I'm a pastor. I'm always getting phone calls, right? I got a phone call yesterday. That's what prompted this webcast. I got a phone call yesterday, and I don't lie over this thing. Why should I lie to you? I want you to listen, and I want you to learn from PJ, because I'm still in the business of teaching you something. You know, I sit around this house, and sometimes I clean up this, I do that, and I ask myself, John, what can you do better than anything else than you can do? And the Lord told me, get your behind in that study and put a webcast together based upon what you experienced in your life and what I had you do in your life yesterday. And then they'll know that I am God. Now, that's how important it is for you to listen to me as I do this webcast today. And you to tell your friends to come to this and listen to it, because it's going to work that way in your life too, especially if you have a tendency to become angry, hot-tempered. Now, let me read it from my version of the Bible, Proverbs 14 and 17. Reads like this: a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. See, quick-tempered people act foolish. I got a call on the phone yesterday, and this man is rambling on, about how he wanted to stab somebody with a knife and bludgeon their heads in and to kill them immediately. I know the person who they wanted to bludgeon and kill. And the person said to me, you can call and tell them what I said. Now, of course, I know that I was listening to terrorist behavior. See, these are difficult times that people are living in. You ain't got no money, you ain't got no job, you ain't got no damn place to stay. Things are getting rough. And when you talk to people, you expect them to abide by your rules, your restrictions, your governance, so to say. Wait a minute. I said, well, you know, I'm going to have to call because of my position as a pastor. And because when a person calls me like that, I said, you know, I'm going to have to call this person and tell them exactly word for word what you said. Yeah, all right, tell him, because when I see him, I swear to God, I'm going to do him in. And the person started crying over the phone. So I knew that they were serious. All right, let's just keep the thing right there. I want you to continue to listen to me. Now listen. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. See, in this whole situation, I knew I had to be the one that had some sense. So I called the other person that this person said that they were going to bludgeon, bash in their head and get a butcher knife from their kitchen and cut them wide open. Oh, this ain't no play. This is real time. An independent thinker with good reason. I was patient. I called the other person and I said, you have odds with this person? They say, yeah, let me tell you about it. I said, I don't want to hear about it. I'm just a messenger. And I said, I'm going to repeat to you what this person said to me. And my advice to you is that you should get out of Dodge as quick as you can because the person is serious. After I told the person, I also said, now there's one more thing that I'd like you to do. And they said, what? Wait, let me go back to this verse again and read it. Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Now, as a pastor, I didn't say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that foul spirit, Satan. No, none of that. That was no foul spirit. Because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? See, I know my scripture because I'm a man of God. I will always be a man of God. I was talking with someone in my family today, and I told him, when I die, you know, I ain't got no insurance, and so I don't know how they're going to get rid of me. But you know what I said? I said, I don't care because I won't be here. My time, see, I will be judged for what I do before I die, not after. After I die, the city has charge of my body. They can do whatever they want to do. Oh, I have a grave. I paid for the crypt. But I'm not going to pay for no embalming and all that other stuff. And don't nobody need me putting no money in their hand for nothing. Get up off your lazy behind and go to work. That goes for everybody that gets hungry. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And damn the man that won't provide for his own family. See, that's me. Old schoolism. I don't have time for this new world order. Oh, but wait a minute. Let me finish. Wait. I was patient. And I said, now listen, this is what I want you to do. Since this person made this threat against you and I think that they're going to carry it out if they get a chance, you need to call the authorities, the police. And the person said, well, you know, I think I will. I said, yes, you need to call the police. And I said, you can give them my telephone number if they need somebody to talk to who told you this information. All right. Number of minutes passed by, my cell phone ring. And it's the police department. and it's a police department. And they said, who are you? I said, you know who this is since you identified yourself as a police, because I told the second party that I spoke to tell you to give me a call. And I'm glad you did. And the police said, well, give me your side of the story. I said, first of all, get this and understand it. I don't have a side to anything because I don't take sides with human beings. Why? I told you earlier, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Since I don't know nobody's heart, I'm not taking nobody's sides. I called this person and told him to call you and to repeat to you what I said to them. And the police said, well, granted, will you repeat it to us? I said, yes, this is what the person said they would do. And then the police said to me, what is your full name and address, your driver's license number? He's asking for all of that. And I said, hold up. I'm not giving you anything. I call you for one reason. There's a possibility I make for certain that you are supposed to take care of crime when it takes place in time. And so you're going to send a car to both locations to stop this homicide. I've documented it with you. You don't need anything else but to do what the taxpayer is paying you to do. I'm not giving you any information that you really don't require. And then I told him, I'm a retired pastor, told him my age, and told him that I was an LAPD chaplain, retired. Now, they can take that information and do whatever they want to do. Well, thank you, sir. Hung up, nothing else. See, now let me go back to that verse again. See, a patient man has great understanding. I knew in order to stop a homicide, I had to talk to both parties. I'm not concerned about what happened. Calm down. How do you get him to calm down? The popo did, because the popo brought a remembrance to your mind. If you do something, you're going to wish you had not have done it. It's as simple as that. Let me give you another one. James in the New Testament writes and says, in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Are you hearing me? Slow to speak and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So you can see right here, James is saying, when you have this kind of bitterness and anger in you that you want to inflict pain upon someone else, even with the peradventure to bring about their demise, that will not make good for you. And why did this person want to blunge in the other person? Because they hated him. They hated them. They hated them for what they've done in the past, and what they're trying to do in the present, and possibly what they may do in the future. And the person told me, I just want to put them out of their misery. Well, I got another verse for him. And remember, I read the other verse above where it says that God is angry with the wicked. Remember Psalm chapter 7, verse 11? Keep that in mind. Listen to what Proverbs 10:12 says. Hatred stirs up dissensions, but love covers over all wrongs. Ah, you see, I love both parties so much that I called an entity that this nation in America is toying with today. You don't defund no damn police. Oh, you need the police. because the person that called me with blood in their eyes sure enough didn't expect me to get up off my behind and go over there and get involved in a cutting, brawling, fist a cutting. What? Calm down. See, and that's the problem. Calm down. Now, what happened? I hear that the police authorities came out to both places, talked with both persons, and I had the audacity to invite one of the persons by my home and so that we could have a nice glass of red wine and discuss this malfunctioning human trait of anger and a hot temper. All I'll do is give them the date of this webcast. They'll get the picture. You see, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. See, that's what we have to do. I've seen so many crash. I could not believe the jokes and the terrible things that people were saying about Donald Trump during this election. They rigged some stuff together to mock that man. I don't necessarily care for him as a diplomat. As a politician, I think he's an embarrassment to this country, to tell you the God's honest truth. But I don't agree with everything with Joseph Biden, who appears to be the president-elect. I don't agree with either of them. I didn't agree with Barack Obama, and sure enough, don't agree with him now, because I'm a grown man, and I make my own mind up about things in this world that I live in. But I've been given a charge, like that old song we used to sing in church, a charge to keep I have. And what else? What's verse 2? A God, what? To glorify. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you put me in the camp of unbelievers. Just because I don't come on my website preaching to you every day and giving Bible study every day, I told you I'm going to back off. I want to see what God's going to do to America. I want to see what God's going to do to the economy. I hear that the European economy is shutting down all over again. England, you can't go to, man, didn't they? They went out to the pubs. They was drinking again. Hoorah, having parties. Now your grandma dying, your mama dying, and everybody dying. Shut up and stay home. Well, John, you know, boy, you really can't talk to people like that. They get offended. You know, we here in the United States of America, we like to do our own thing. We like to get angry and run people down in cars and shoot people with 7 shots because they wouldn't drop the knife. Can you believe that? Don't defund the police. Define what a policeman is and get rid of the ones that don't fit the definition properly. That's when intelligence will get you. But I understand. I understand. Now, you remember the illustration that I just gave you, right? Listen. Proverbs 17 and 9. He who covers over an offense, listen to this. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So, this offense is covered, by all means, because you don't know the persons involved in this. But if they repeat that, there it is. They're never to call me back. Why did they call the pastor? It reminds me when I was a pastor in a church, I had one member there, a married couple. The female stabbed her husband, stabbed him. I remember the brother came to church the next day limping. He said, "She stabbed me." Man, my goodness. Proverbs 19:11. I love this book of Proverbs because you can find so much in here that help you straighten out your lousy behind. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook that offense. Well, now, let me see who this is. Hello.
Hey, Bob, I was just making sure you up and ready. I'm going to come up there and see you. I just woke up. I just got off work at 6 o'clock this morning. So I just took a shower, and can I come up there still?
You have no sign of the corona. You are healthy.
No, not at all.
All right. Now.
None whatsoever.
But when you come, let's keep that distance, okay, Reg?
No problem.
All right, brother. I love you. I'll be looking forward to seeing you.
I'll see you in a minute.
Bye bye. You see, I still have young men wanting to come by and hang out with me. But did you hear what I said? Do you have any trace? Any cough? You can't breathe? You've been hanging around, and he just got off from work. He's in security, so he ain't around no people. And he knows I don't. But what did he do? He asked permission to come to my house. You just don't show up at the front door because you get that door slammed in your face, especially with a virus going on out there. All right, let me keep on reading this thing, and I hope that you appreciating this hour Bible study. You know, I hear people say, "Pastor John, you're not doing enough Bible studies. You got to bring us Bible study." Okay, I'm bringing you one. Now, what should our attitude be towards the Republicans if we Democrat? What should our attitudes be if we're Democrats towards a Republican, towards Mitch O'Connell, towards the whip on the Senate? What should our attitude be towards, I don't like her politics, Maxine Waters, What should be my attitude towards this human being? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, in other words, above everything, put this on the top of your list. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You love President Trump like that? Deeply. See, now the Bible is a book for righteous people, people that love God. If you love God, you love everything he said. I want to know, are you loving God on that level? Does it get that deep? Let me read it again. Above all, love each other deeply. I don't like that translation. Let me go to my NASB. See, some of you got different transliterations that you can go to and get it closer to the Greek. That's in 1 Peter, I said. If I just stop toying with you like that. But I like doing that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. See, the NASB is closer to the Greek. When I read it in this, whatever version it is, above all, love each other deeply, give me a better word than deeply here. Because I remember teaching this, from the Greek, and I used to preach from this NASB. And it says, above all, keep, meaning that it already is in you. See what I mean? Because when you look at the other transliteration, and that's how come I couldn't stop there. I said, no. I remember this verse because I'm reading on a printed page on anger and hot temper. I have a little book in my library where you can turn to certain subject matters. It's not outlined. It's just the scripture's detail, and it's in a bad transliteration. So when I saw that transliteration, I said, that's not what that means in the Greek. No. See, and if you don't know that because you've never looked at it in the language that it was originally written in, let me tell you this. The Bible was not written in English. It was not written for Americans. The Bible is not an American book. Jesus is not an American caricature. Did I say the word right? Jesus is not that. And so to imply that he is that is a lie. Ah, yes. Don't get this preacher going. Let me read this verse again. Above all, keep, the intent in the Greek is that something is already yours that has been delivered to you, fervent in your love for one another. That's me, Pastor John. I love you people. I love you. I'm not ashamed to say I be loving you. I tell a young man I love him, he look at me like I'm crazy. The last young man that came out to visit me, I told him that I loved him. He said, yeah, I like that. That's right. See? I had never met him before. I just told him. I don't know what somebody, see, and you people out there, you professing Christians, you go to church, you got a good hoorah. Man, is your church filled? You got them coming back in? That money coming back in? You got that sister and that brother singing, got them shouting and jumping and jumping flips all over the place and all that shit? Excuse my language. Oh, man, look at that. Keep it, your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And it does. When you love, it don't make no difference what the person said to the other person. I'm going to stab them. I'm going to bash their head in. I'm going to kill them. I love them enough to say, can I tell the other person? Yeah, tell them. That was it. I said, well, I'm sitting in my office, and I said, well, I guess I'm still a pastor. I guess I'm still a pastor. Still doing. And you know what? These people that call themselves pastors and spiritual men, they don't know how to keep anybody from doing anything. Often I tell people, if I was on the street corner while those police officers were choking that man that said he couldn't breathe, the Floyd guy, if I had seen that, I would be on the other side of the street saying, the Lord God in heaven sees this and will judge you eternally. I am a man of God. If you don't get your knee off of his neck because he can't breathe, the wrath of God will be yours for an eternity. And will the rest of you people come on my side of the street and let me preach? Do you think that white cop would have kept his knee on that black man's neck? No. But because America has put down God, you better listen to me, has put down the Bible, you had better listen to me and calm the hell down. But because you've rejected God, rejected the message that nobody on the streets can see anything without feeling putrid hate in their own hearts for the man that's doing it, who is a depraved creature himself. All right. Let me keep on going. I'm enjoying this. I'm shut in my house, but my brain's not shut up. I possibly cannot go to the mall and walk around. My hair's all nappy. You should see it all over my head. I don't even care. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, that is a very well-known scripture. Oh, it's the love chapter. Yeah, I thought you was going to say the love train. All right, verses 4 and 5 is what I want to look at. It says, love is patient. Were you patient with President Trump? Did you pray for him like the Bible commands you to, if you're truly a righteous person? Love is kind. Was it kind, all those cartoon gags and making him look like an animal and all that kind of stuff? If it was me, would it be? I wouldn't like that. I had two friends of mine play a terrific gag on me years and years ago. And I remember the day I was in my car talking with both of them on a three-way conversation. And I said, I don't want to see you or talk with you for the rest of my life. And to this date, it's been like that, unless I broke my own rule. When people make fun of you and mock you, that hurts you deeply. And these were people that I love, still love, but I just don't want to be around no human being like that. No. Now listen to what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. So if Biden wins, tell Trump to listen to this. Don't be jealous. Pack up your mess out that house and get the hell out. Gonna let another dump bag in there to mess it up for 4 years. Come on, man. It said, love does not brag and is not arrogant. No, it's not. I'm telling you, calm down. Calm down, because if God got some anger against you, God's gonna get his coming. Now, wait a minute, look at verse 5. It does not act unbecomingly. See, all these people writing these jokes about the president, making fun of him, mocking him. Now that the election is won, it looks like, by the Democrats and everything, and we don't know what the people, the laws, how they're going to respond to this. Stop asking me. Stop asking me who did I vote for. That's none of your business. I don't live for you. I don't live to make you happy. You don't listen to no preacher. Don't no preacher tell you how to vote. That's what that idiot John MacArthur's doing over there in Panorama City. Got them people meeting and COVID virus is out like that. You heard what I said to that man that just called me. Do you have the coronavirus? No. Are you sick in any way besides the physical ailment that he has, that I know he has? He says, no, because I don't have it either. Tickle me, because when Morio left the country, you know, he had to take a COVID test, because they're not going to let you on no plane unless you pass the COVID test. And he told me when he was in New Zealand, he said, hey, old man. I said, what's happening, bro? What's going on? He said, well, I passed the COVID test. So I said, so why'd you call and tell me that? I knew that you was going to pass that. He said, well, if I pass it, that means you don't have it. I said, you didn't have to tell me whether I have COVID. See, that's why I never got in my car and lined up to get them put a puff in my nose. I know what I have. I have old people sickness. My body's getting old. The organs are deteriorating. My muscles are getting tired. Thank God my brain is still intact. Let me get back to this verse. It says it doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. Unfortunately, that's what President Trump was doing. It's not provoked. In other words, if President Trump really held that Bible right, he wouldn't be provoked to anger when people talk about him like that. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. This man that was telling me why he wanted to stab this other person gave me the whole account. And this man was saying to me, you know I'm a godly person. Well, if you was a godly person, you did not agree with the latter part of verse 5 by not taking into account a wrong that was suffered on your behalf. And it was a justifiable wrong, too. One that deemed great retribution. Great. But you call the pastor. And when you call the pastor, what do you think the pastor is going to do? Choose sides? He don't do that. He's going to pull out that book if he can, and he's going to say, calm down. Calm down. When is the last time you picked up the Holy Writ and read it? When is the last time you dedicated yourself to the goodness in another person's life instead of the selfish attribute of your existence? I think I've said enough in this study. Don't have to go on all day. Calm down. When the results come in for the person to be the next president of the United States, you need to calm down. When it comes in and they say that they're going to have to recount every box, every vote, every jot, every tittle, going to have to be torn up. We're going to have another election. Because the Supreme Court said this. Who's on the Supreme Court? How many justices? Really? Those men and women are of depraved heart, just like mine. So why are you getting all upset? Calm down. When the police, if you're going to be foolish enough, get your butt out there on the street, and the police says this is an unlawful assembly because you won't calm down, right? My life matters. My life matters. My right matters. My right matters. And I'm just not talking to the millennials. I'm talking with all you criminals. Because, see, you get out there under that pretext and you want to bust out I Magnum's window and take a mink coat that you'd look stupid in the first place. See what I mean? or I can see him trying to sell one. My goodness. Well, I've enjoyed my Thursday afternoon with you. I hope that you have. Belching. I hope that you've learned something from these scriptures. And I also hope that you can weigh who you are by how you feel, by what you do, and how you live. Thank you for coming to my website and stay in that word of God and think independent of other people who have no idea what they're talking about. Go over those scriptures, apply them to yourself. God bless.